The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back once again. Quieter night tonight, Stephen Fishback.
Wow, much quieter night. I missed the other 549 yeah, people.
But this was better that we got this episode tonight because I didn't have scrap paper ready to go at the Lincoln Square AMC 13 last week, because this was the most complicated episode that we've had here in Survivor 35.
Oh, really?
What,
oh,
you don't think so?
Funny. I thought this was like, I don't know. I thought last week was a good.
Oh, it wasn't bad, but this one I felt like was off the charts. That we had people not voting. We had a split vote. Oh, yeah. So we've got a lot to figure out here tonight.
It's funny, you know. My take on that vote was it was a pretty down the line vote that the show was just able to eke some drama out of. Like, will they or won't they be so stupid as to split votes with only six people? But you know, it turned out that they actually, the Heroes and Hustlers actually put four solid votes on Desi and then let Mike and Cole fill in the extra votes for, so it wasn't like really a full split from the Hero Hustler Alliance. But let's break it down here on the Know-It-Alls. That's what we do.
Why are you mocking the show that you're on?
No. I didn't mean to be. I was like both. I think I was.
Is this
both
evil
not,
Stephen Fishback?
No, I was serious, but it came out really sarcastic. It was not intentional that way. I was trying to be enthusiastic, like, yeah, let's get ready to rumble for the Know-It-All.
Yeah, your enthusiastic voice is a little bit like a sarcastic voice. I don't know if anybody's told you that.
This might explain a lot of the misunderstanding in my life.
All right, well, we got a lot to get to. Hashtag RHAP. Hey, Steven, we had so much fun last week. Do you realize in but 3 weeks' time, you and I are ready to do it one more time this season?
Wow.
Austin, Texas, December 6th. RobHasAWebsite.com/AustinKIA. All those people that had FOMO of not being there last week when they saw everything going on, all the video from the event, which really came out great if you haven't seen the video from last week. All of the people that were taking pictures with Ceri and Jessica Lewis and Stephen Fishback. Well, you got one more shot at this.
Yeah. And it's crazy. We have such an exciting Austin Know-It-Alls panel. No. Joe Dowdle will be there.
Well, yes. Have you reached out to Joe Dowdle?
A couple months ago.
Okay. Well,
should I follow up?
You're burying the lead, Stephen Fishback, because we've got a really great panel that is going to be there with us. You know, look, I don't know if we're going to top Ceri Field, but we're going to do our best to get into that stratosphere, because Kim Spradlin is going to be there with us in Austin, Texas. Whoa. On December 6th. Also, my guest on the voicemails this week, Brett LaBelle, is going to be there with us in Texas. And then also, I can tell you that Survivor Caramoan Reynolds Topher.
What? Reynolds?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Is going to be there.
That's incredible.
Among others.
Is this like a comeback for him into the Survivor circle?
Yeah, we're on his turf, his hometown. RobHasAWebsite.com/AustinKIA. We're going to do the VIP dinner as well there before the show. And hopefully I won't be stressing out about the technical issues like I was last week.
It'll be something.
But no, it's going to be great. We'll get the Survivors there, have a nice dinner before the show. Really looking forward to that one. And being back together with Stephen Fishback in person. It's so I do love to get to watch the episode with you in person.
I know it is really fun. We're just, I feel bad for the people who sit next to us in the theater because we're like chattering away.
I ate so much popcorn.
It's very distracting.
All right. So if you want more information, go to robinsonwebsite.com/AustinKIA for that. And then, of course, Stephen, also a very exciting week on the podcast. I mentioned voicemails with Brett LaBelle, but Todd Herzog is going to be back on the podcast with me. Talk to him tomorrow. Have not talked to him in about 4 years on the podcast.
Wow, you've really got some good gets here, Rob, with the Reynolds and the Todd. This is really quite a week for you.
And don't forget, exit interview with Desi coming up as well. And then also Josh Wiggler is going to join me on the This Week in Survivor History quiz. So listen to on the show this week. Okay, Steven? So let's start to get into everything going on from this episode tonight. And of course, I think my big question here, why vote out Desi instead of Joe on the revote?
Yeah. First of all, it looked like Desi was the target going into the vote, right? As I mentioned, the four votes for Desi were all solid hero hustler votes. I don't remember who they were, but I know Ryan was one. I don't actually remember all the others, but they were all people from that core hero hustler alliance. The four votes for Joe, two of them were Mike and
Cole. Yes.
So it looked like they were more okay with that vote not going through and that Desi was the original target. So to get back to the question, why Desi? You know, I think Desi's the right choice here. I think that's why Desi. She's someone who's very good in the challenges. She won the first immunity challenge and she was very competitive in the second immunity challenge, individual immunity challenge. And she's someone who seems to be, she's hanging out in the shelter while Joe and Ben are fighting on the beach. And the person you want to have around is the person who's fighting on the beach, right? That's the person who's going to be drawing all the attention to themselves. That's the person who's going to get a lot of animosity, who's going to draw a lot of votes. If Desi is just hanging around, like being friendly with everybody, it's hard, she becomes less of a target.
Yeah, I know you raised this point earlier in the season in terms of when you have a choice to make, always vote out the person that's more inconspicuous, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What was that? That was your Simone logic?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it really goes back to like the Jeremy Meat Shield thing. And, Tony always talked about that's why he kept Spencer around, because as long as Spencer's around, Tony's not the biggest target. So, I think that makes to me, Desi is the correct choice here, both and also because individual immunities are every week. It's not, Joe's not going to have infinite chances to get idols. It's not like Joe's ability to find idols is equal to Desi's ability to win immunities. And especially as the season wears on, a lot of those, middle merge immunities are super friendly for, more friendly for women, right? Not for nothing, Joe didn't find the idol this week. So, his idol streak is broken. Yeah.
So who do you think was the ultimate decision maker here in terms of deciding, okay, we need to vote out Desi over Joe? Because I feel like that different people would probably favor one over the other.
That's an interesting question. I mean, I assume that, probably Ashley likes Desi, right? She doesn't know. I mean, she and Desi seem to have a working relationship. That's probably true of Devin as well. If I'm Ryan, I want Joe around, because he's such a flamboyant character. I would guess Ben wants Joe gone just because he really, he really insulted Ben today. Mm-hmm. So who knows who the ultimate decision maker is? It's like anything, any consensus.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just feel like I understand everything you're saying and it makes sense on paper. But in terms of like Desi is going to be a thorn in your side when she's still there at the final six or seven and you haven't gotten rid of her yet. But who's more likely to turn the game on its head? I feel like it's Joe. I feel like that he's more likely to create problems moving forward. And it depends on who you are in the game. If you're one of these people that's like, the playing the little finger strategy of like, okay, well, I want everything to be crazy. I guess you do want Joe to stay in the game. So I'm not sure if that benefits somebody like Orion who would like to see there being more turmoil in the game. But I feel like that if you are somebody who is like a Chrissy who maybe might want more of a straight shot at this thing and feeling like that you're in control, I feel like that Desi is the easier person to get rid of down the line.
But because she's so innocuous, right, that can make it actually challenging to get rid of her later, whereas Joe is always going to be a big target. And I think, you know, my fear, if I were in that healer hustler alliance, is how do we keep this group of people together? Well, it's the Boston Rob strategy, right? You have this one person who's always there, who's like going to be a big target. You know, that's how you keep the group together.
Right.
So if I were in that big group, you want a really visible enemy. If you've got Desi instead of Joe, like, she's not a big enemy. You know, she hangs out with them. She seems to get along with them. So I think that makes it easier for that big alliance to crack.
Yeah. You're making some good points. I mean, when you have this big group and you need to, you know, stay together, it is great to have one person that is sort of like this galvanizing force to keep them all together. And we ended up seeing Kim be able to, you know, keep her group together back in One World, where you had somebody like Troyzan who was making good points about, hey, right, come on, vote with me. Click, 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 click.
Is that your Troyzan?
Yeah. And so, nobody wanted to vote with him. Hey, this is my island.
Hey. Is he like a Howdy Doody? I don't even know who this is.
Howdy Doody.
I don't know. That's not Howdy Doody.
Yeah.
But
no, you make a good point, and it's a very Big Brother idea.
Yeah. I mean, is that Big Brother? I don't know. I give you sure.
Yeah. You know, you keep the person who's the bigger threat in the house because he's going to continue to go off. So I guess now that the serve has been returned to Joe, and now it's up to Joe to see if he can sort of downshift and now not be, you know, such a, lightning rod, and be able to get a few people to vote with him.
But it seems like people just don't like him, right? I mean, it seems like that even beyond his antics, that it's and you know who loses as much as Desi loses? I think Dr. Mike loses from this vote, because I think all Dr. Mike wants is for this whole healer thing, right, to just like dissipate so he can integrate into this group. He's got good ties with the group. You know, he gets along well with Ben and certainly with Lauren. He has a good relationship with her. I bet all Dr. Mike wants is for like the whole healer hustler hero divide to go away so he can play the game with the others.
Yeah, I think that he's still in a good spot for that. Why do you feel like that he is a loser tonight?
No, I don't know. I mean, you know, what if 1 week, Joe has immunity and Nicole has immunity and everyone worries that Joe is an immunity idol. So they vote Dr. Mike out, and just like they voted Jessica out last week, because he's the other healer that's around.
Yeah, but you know, Jessica was the person who was the most unlikely person to have a hidden immunity idol. And
Dr. Mike has an idol,
right?
But people don't know that.
That's like, the great thing about Dr. Mike, about how that he's in this sort of like position where like Kelly Wentworth found herself, where he has an idol. Nobody knows he has the idol. Nobody's even suspecting or thinking that he has the idol. And so it's a great position for him to be in.
But it could end up like blowing up in his face, right? Where people are so sure he doesn't have the idol that they vote for him anyway. He doesn't play his idol and he ends up going home because people erroneously think he does not have an idol.
Yeah. Well, I think that when we get to that position where, you know, that he, I think that his suspicions will be probably raised at that point when it's like it's either Joe or right. him. I think that he would be able to key in on that. Yeah. So
let's hope so.
Yeah. So we'll see for Dr. Mike moving forward. Let's talk about Lauren, because I have a lot of questions about Lauren and what she did tonight. First off, Stephen, as somebody who is a person who is in the family tree of stealing a vote and getting an extra vote, Stephen, did you feel like that Lauren should have taken this opportunity to avoid voting tonight?
Yeah, this was a great opportunity. First of all, it seemed like she had to use the thing at that tribal council, right?
Yes.
But then she gets the extra vote to use at any tribal council she wants. I mean, that is a freaking gift, right? She can miss a vote at a tribal council where she's not in any danger at all, and she can save it for when she actually is going to be in some danger. Now, unusually, because of the split vote, all of the votes were read at tribal council. And that means that people theoretically will have noticed that only 10 votes were cast on an 11-person tribe. So people are going to be wondering what happened. No reason to think, oh, this must mean someone banked a vote. You know, I'm really curious to see how that shakes out. But I think this is a no-brainer for Lauren to do here. Do you not agree?
Well, I thought it was a no-brainer until the point that she told Ben. And I thought that she came across as very self-interested to say, hey, you guys, you do your plan, but I'm going to be I got this opportunity to get an extra vote here. So I'm you know, that you guys, good luck with everything.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she pitched it to him kind of weirdly, but I had the sense that these guys are operating together, as you predicted.
Ben and Lauren are together?
As you predicted, yes, yes, yes.
I'm just excited about that. That's my, being excited about Ben and Lauren are together.
Yeah, I thought that was you being sarcastic.
No, I'm just very excited.
So, as you predicted, Ben and Lauren clearly are together, and... Well, now I'm thrown. Oh yeah, okay. So, you know, I think she's like, I think she kind of said it in a weird way, but I got the sense of, I have this thing that we can use down the line when it, you know, didn't like he or she say like when it gets down to the nitty gritty or something like that. And, you know, and so I think they both kind of agree in that situation. And clearly the way they rearrange the votes, what I'm curious about is they have this kind of neat vote split set up with the 4-3. Does everyone in the alliance end up learning about Lauren's extra vote in that situation?
Because well, yeah.
How else do they explain why, you know, what happened?
A couple of things that I think that we don't have the answer to. Number one, that when there were only 10 votes read at an 11-person tribal council, why weren't there more people like, whoa, where's the other vote? Why are there only 10 votes? Nobody seemed to be, you know, either A, everybody knew about it and that had to be explained. And I mean, you have some really smart math people like a Chrissy who's out there.
You don't have to be a really smart math person to expect 11 votes and see 10 votes and know something is wrong. You know,
right.
That's not like math super genius level.
But I wonder if that had been explained to the group beforehand where either Ben went to Chrissy and passed that information along, because nobody seemed to like jump out of their seat when there was only 10 votes. So that was very interesting to me. And then I also thought that on the revote, when Lauren didn't revote and there was no, like, I don't know how she knew.
Yeah, they must have informed her. I was thinking about that. They must have said something to her.
But, like, are they that prepared that then production says to her beforehand, okay, just so you know, then if it's a tie vote tonight, then on the revote, what you do is just push the paper all the way to the end. Otherwise, I don't know how they got her that information of how to proceed in that spot without calling attention to it at tribal council.
You know, they've got a pretty good operation there on Survivor, this whole, you know, Survivor SEG thing. They've got their machinery
right.
Pretty well oiled.
I guess if everybody is like telling production before the vote where they're going, they may have a heads up in terms of like, just in case this is a split, you know, is it splitting the vote if it comes back as a tie. Steven, would this have been more exciting last season where we go to a rock draw on the 4-4-1-1 tie?
I mean, I guess it would be much better for, I mean, this is the situation they were hoping for last season, right? Where you have this big majority alliance and then this minority alliance that can be a true spoiler, right? Creating that, like, in that situation, then you would have the healer grouping, like, how do we force a tie here? And I think this is like kind of what they would have been their ideal scenario last season, I guess, for whatever reason they didn't want to keep at it. The thing that, you know, I knew very specifically for my advantage what would happen in the event of a tie, you know, and that was partially because I was talking through it. I was like, what happens? Because I thought there could be a tie, so I knew what would happen if that were to happen. So I think they do inform you.
Yeah, you had your finger on the pulse of all of the outcomes.
Yeah,
that could happen,
except, including the one that did happen. But it was the one I didn't really want. You know, it was the one I didn't want.
Yeah. I wonder. I guess that Joe and Desi must have known what was about to happen, because Joe says to Desi, "Hey, I didn't screw you over." And so Joe voted for – one of them voted for Ben and one of them voted for Lauren.
Why were they splitting their votes?
Well, yeah. I mean that there is the old was it Mookie or was it Alex that basically it was the tie – that they were the first ones that one of them – I think it was Alex. I think he kept put his vote on the other person instead of like that in the past it had always been the two people. Okay, let's just pick one random person. We'll both put our votes on that person. You could put your vote on the other person and tip the scales.
Right.
And
right.
Then, yeah, both of them ended up voting for Ben and Lauren.
Yeah, but why would they split it? Why wouldn't they just both vote Ben?
I don't know. I mean, I think they did. They wanted let everybody decide and let it go to time. I mean, it wouldn't change anything. Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't have changed anything. It doesn't make sense at all.
Steven, I wasn't there. Okay. You know, I watched the same show you did. I don't have that information.
This is what we do on this podcast.
What the exit interview is for. We'll ask Desi tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. It is interesting to think, like, because, you know, they really caused them to rearrange this vote split, Lauren's vote. So I'm really curious to see how much everyone knew. And I'm sure we will see that in the first sequence of next episode. People being like, what? There were 10 votes. There were 11. What happened? You know, and either they know or they don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah. I think there's a couple people like, well, there's only 10 people, JP. So I don't know. What, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a couple people you could just like slide it under the rug.
Yeah.
Steven, let's talk about that reward tonight because, look, Survivor, thank you for giving me a reason to watch people eat spaghetti tonight. Thank you.
Yeah. You love to watch people eat spaghetti, Rob. I always
I applaud the show for giving me a reason to watch people consume mass quantities. So that, you know, oh, this was the best spaghetti we ever had in our lives. Yay.
Right.
Can't believe it.
Right.
You know, good. We actually had a purpose there. And so Survivor decides to they've done different versions of this before, but so this was a unique situation where they had one bowl of pasta and salad, not a tri-tip, unfortunately, for JP, just a regular Caesar salad. And so they got to go one at a time to dole out the portions. But the real twist was that there was this clue to the idol that was underneath the plate. And so there was going to be some intrigue in terms of who was going to get to see it. Steven, did you like how the show did all of this tonight?
Yeah, I loved it. I agree. There was a lot of decisions, right? It's always fun to see the players make choices, you know, whether that is, and starting with Joe's choice of the order of people, and then you have the player's choice.
Which in hindsight was a bad move.
In hindsight, how was that not even in foresight a bad move?
Well, I think that he would thought he was getting some social capital.
Yeah. I mean, hold on a second, Rob. I'm usually the one who's more sympathetic to decisions made for the purpose of social capital. You typically hate the idea of giving someone a reward in order to like gain their favor.
Right. I'm just saying that there was the reason why he was doing it. He didn't even think that there was a possibility that there was going to be the opportunity to find a clue based on who went at what time.
But isn't it crazy? I mean, we're Survivor fans. I thought, you know, Jeff says to the group, A, you know, an idol was just played at the last tribal council. B, Jeff's like, we're twisting up the reward. You know, people are going to eat the same plate at different times. Like, my idol sense was triggered. I can't believe that Joe's wasn't, you know, and, you know, it's a testament to how fatigued and hungry and game crazy the players are at this point. Because did you not immediately think that there was going to be an idol at this reward?
I did not think that immediately that there would be an idol at this reward. And in fairness to Joe, that the idol clues in the rewards has made a comeback this season. That has not been a thing on Survivor in the American version recently. That has kind of fallen out of favor. So it's back in a big way this season. And if Joe hypothetically had known about if he ended up finding out, okay, the advantage that ended up going into Devin's backpack was something that was in the bag of chips, or if he knew about the secret advantage that was in the pile of nails. I don't know if he had that information at any point, that that's a place where Survivor was hiding the idol clues this season. He found an idol clue on a tree.
Right. No, but historically, it is a place that they could find a clue. Look, I'm very sympathetic to the argument of, you know, this person needs to... It's not just like this alliance versus this alliance. These people all have different
relationships. So you think that he should have said, hey, I demand I get to go first.
Well, you know, we're always wary when someone is seen to be giving, to be being generous on a reward. Now, granted, you had Matthew von Ertfeld,
the patron saint of reward challenges. Yes.
The patron saint of reward challenges. Yeah. But I feel like nowadays people are more suspicious of this kind of move, right? Where someone does something generous on a reward, everyone else is going to be like, what's he up to?
Yeah. So you feel like that he should have said, hey, great job, guys. I should go first. I should go second. Like, I feel like that he was in a tough spot. He was also with all the people that hate him.
Yeah, well, all the more reason not to care.
I guess
Look, I get it. I get why he did that. I might have done the same thing. Another move is to say, Devin, it's your birthday. You go first. I'll go second. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look.
What do you call shotgun?
I don't know. He had the power. It's hard. It is hard.
He was also in the position he did not play in the reward challenge. If this was a regular situation where he had been a contributor, like he was really just like the plus one on their reward that they won.
But what is that Survivor rule about gratitude? It was one of the Survivor laws of power about how it was, it like people are super grateful and will always reward you for your generosity.
They'll forget it. I just don't know. But like being a total jerk also does not win you anything either.
No, look, I'm with you. I think that it's a tricky situation, and it is such a personal game, and especially for new players, it's such a deeply personal experience that. You know, but then he goes and calls Ben out on the Marine thing, you know, and so, you know,
right.
Should have been a jerk at the reward and not at camp.
Right. I don't think he had that foresight. And I thought that he was at least that they were going to make him go last no matter what. He was going to be outvoted. He was outnumbered in terms of the people that won the reward and the people like that were voting together. So he was going, unless he was going to like force his way and like cut the line and tell everybody to go F themselves, he was going to eat spaghetti. Like he was going last anyway. And I thought he had an opportunity to come across as magnanimous about it.
That's fair. That's good.
That being said, so did you like how they went one at a time, Steven, or do you think they should have put them all at the trough, Lady and the Tramp style?
To watch? Well, I mean, the one at a time thing was great because of the way the idol clue played out.
Yes.
So I think with that, one at a time makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So it was really kind of crazy, just the mechanics of everybody that went. You know, we saw Devin first, then JP, then Cole comes and Cole's like, I don't care. I'm just going to eat everything. He sees the idol clue and then he's like, well, I don't want anybody else to see that. He takes the spaghetti with his hand and then puts like a cloth napkin. I don't know why anybody's like, who serves spaghetti like this? What is this? Like what? The way like Little Red Riding Hood would bring spaghetti to her grandmother's house?
I guess, and it's funny when Chrissy comes into the reward, she says, oh, I didn't realize I wouldn't get a plate.
That was very upsetting to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, kudos to Chrissy who came in and then instantly was thinking that way. And bravo to Ryan for throwing the dish away and having the foresight to do that and production letting him do that and not saying like, hey, that's a no-go.
Well, that's actually, so I actually wrote a bit about this in my blog, which I would recommend you check out. It's on my Twitter feed, twitter.com/Stephen Fishback. You can find
now 280 characters.
Yeah. Because I agree with you. I think that the reason that Cole and Chrissy didn't toss the reward clue is because they didn't necessarily think that they were allowed to. You know, I think Ryan taking this piece, this like piece of reward, this like plate, and like tossing it into the bushes, I will bet that Cole and Chrissy didn't feel like they were allowed to do something that like transgressive.
Mm-hmm. Also, that there was a bigger portion of food that was on the table. Like, I think it would seem weird that the spaghetti was just like on a table. Like, there was a serving dish. I think that maybe
you wouldn't
might...
like naturally think like, oh, of course, someone took a clue from a idle plate from a plate.
No,
and, like,
no,
threw it into the woods.
No,
like, there's no natural next step there.
Yeah. So then, and of course, then Joe is, you know, has no idea what was going on. So, Steven, then I thought this was the second week in a row that Chrissy does a bad job of, she starts whispering to Ryan right after about, like, did you see the clue? And then they're worried, did Cole see it? No, he's too stupid, but he's smart enough to hear them whispering about something. And immediately he keys into that they know that they have the idol. Is this overconfidence on Chrissy's part? Why does this keep happening where she keeps having these strategic conversations in front of a group of people and people are paying attention to this?
Yeah, I agree. I think she just can't wait. It's probably a combination of overconfidence and just she seems like an overly analytical person who's like constantly running things in her head. And she's like so in her own head that she's less aware of the people around her. Yeah, it's not a great trait when others are overhearing you talk about them.
Yeah. So we then get everybody back to camp. And so there's a moment where Cole goes off to have a pee break. And really, you think, yeah, I mean, I guess he could have gone at the challenge or at the reward, but gives the opportunity. Ryan goes and digs up the idol immediately. And then I felt like that Chrissy makes the unforced error here as well, when she should have been running point for Ryan and either causing a diversion or like striking up a big conversation with everybody. Instead, she's the one that goes back to the flagpole, to the tribe flag, which is what Cole sees. And then he runs in there to start digging as well.
But I actually thought Chrissy played that well, because she goes in there and starts digging. Ryan just says to her, I've got it, right? Then Cole's digging, so Chrissy starts digging crazily too, creating the perception that nobody has it because they're still searching for it.
Yeah. I mean, it played out well. It played out well that Cole decided to bluff that he did have the idol. I think that Joey Amazing ends up in the same spot around this point in Worlds Apart. But had Cole really gone on the offensive, like, I think he could have really shown a light on that he didn't have the idol and that potentially Chrissy had it.
Yeah, but what is that going to do? I mean, then he's just more vulnerable. He hasn't won immunity at that point. You know, I think his only hope is that people think that he's got an idol, you know, and that they don't really, like, from his perspective, the idol has not been found. And so I think his only hope is that people just, like, choose someone else, right, until he wins immunity. I think he played that correctly.
Right. And then it all happened so fast, Steven, but
yeah.
could it have been a wonderful all-time Survivor move if Chrissy could have got her fake idol into the hole?
Oh my god. Cole found the fake idol.
Find that.
That would have been all-time great. That would have been so good.
Yeah, but ultimately it would be great for us. But what does that do? Does Cole not try to win immunity at that point?
Or he gives it to Joe, and like Joe's like, I've got, you know, you're not going to be able to vote me out tonight, and they vote him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it would have been great. I don't know if it's necessarily more important than her keeping it on her own. Okay, Steven, in terms of Ben and Joe tonight as well, we saw Ben, you know, get very upset and, you know, it's not fun to watch. You know, we've seen Ben that he's dealing with all sorts of issues, and he's talked about his PTSD from his time in the service. Do you feel like is what Joe is doing, is that in the bounds of the game? Is that too far, or do you feel like that? Look, this is Survivor, like the Outback, no rules, just right.
I mean, I'm of the opinion that like Survivor, like every part of your life is also real life. You know, it's all, it is a game. Like, what are you willing to do in a game of this, you know, of this magnitude is a testament to who you are as a person. You know, like I thought, you know, I obviously played against people, some of whom were really good people, and I really respect them for the way they played, even if they played aggressive games, strategic games, but also they were just kind people. I also played against miserable, awful people who, like, regardless of their game strategy, were just nasty people to be around. And, you know, you know, when you're struggling with someone in adversity like that, you know, I think it's a test of character. Now, this is not Joe just being a nasty person, right? He's trying to rile Ben up. So is this like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. Like, is this someone doing something that's below the belt? It is still real life, right? This is still his real life. Or is it someone who is, you know, causing chaos at camp with some indefinable purpose? I mean, I think he's definitely, it's a bad look for Ben, right? I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at this point if Ben goes in the next week or two.
Why do you feel like it's a bad look?
Oh, just like the fighting with Joe, like getting pulled down to Joe's level, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Ben is completely justifiable in his outrage at Joe, but, you know, no one wants to be the guy bickering on the beach.
Right. And I did think that we saw the moment in the episode where, you know, I think it was Chrissy and Desi and maybe Ryan were back at camp. And they're talking about, like, oh, it looks like that Joe is just sitting there being calm. It looks like that Ben is the one right. who is, you know, all animated. But I did think that Ben did a really great job at the tribal council
yes,
where he
yes.
talked about, you know, I'm mad that I let myself lose my cool based on what he was saying.
Yeah, I mean, look, Ben's awesome, right? And, like, the way that he is able to be so completely honest and straightforward about his emotional journey while also playing a really aggressive game is really cool, right? It's like he talks very plainly about what's going on with him internally and you know, doesn't seem like a wuss like me when he does it.
Okay. All right. Steven, we got a bunch of questions coming up. Hashtag RHAP. Anything else from the episode you want to get there? I thought that Jeff was really just like very animated at Tribal Council tonight.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, he loves it. He loves it when it gets into these like big human issues, right? Like those are his favorite moments when it's we're making breakthroughs as human beings and Devin, you're a wonderful flashlight shining the way for all of us.
Right. I mean, that we uncovered some really compelling stuff about Devin tonight.
Yeah.
That Devin doesn't like to be all tired and sluggish. He wants to have energy and be alive. He doesn't want to be walking around like, oh, I'm so hungry and tired. And that, I thought that was a big breakthrough.
I think it's all part of his storyline, his march to victory, as we may say. I think Devin's winning. I think Devin's going to win.
Okay. Yeah. He's not a zombie anymore.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be a zombie. You can't make him a zombie, Steven.
No. Wait, so I do actually have a question. What did you think of the reward? What was your, not the reward, the advantage? Like, we talked about how it played out a little bit. What did you think of it, like, from a game mechanic perspective?
From, in terms of that, do I like it? I loved yeah. it. I loved that it was in the game. I wonder aloud, Stephen Fishback, should Lauren have punted on even using it? You said it was a no-brainer, but to me, I'm thinking that maybe the right move for her would have been to not do anything with it, to say, you know, I had this opportunity. You're the one who has said that, you know, the problem is with these advantages that people, when people know you have them, it's become something that people immediately want to come after you. She needed to share that information with Ben. You would think that there's going to be only more questions about why was there one vote less than there should be at Tribal Council. So I feel like that information is going to get passed around, and I think that it makes her come across as this self-interested player who was more interested in getting an advantage than the well-being of the Hurstler Alliance. She's already somebody who's at the bottom of that alliance, and I think that she could potentially make herself more expendable based on the fact that she did something that was not to the benefit of the group, whereas if she would have just been a solid number, then I think that sort of ends up helping her brand in the game. And to me, she doesn't seem like, with all due respect to Lauren Rimmer, that I think that, like last season when I talked about, you know, Debbie maybe should just take the team advantage from Cochran, because I'm not sure necessarily if she's the type of player that is going to be able to handle a second vote. Now, she did end up playing it correctly, being the first person to ever play the extra vote correctly. So I have to tip my cap to Debbie. But I don't know. I just feel like that's not on brand for Lauren to have an extra vote.
I hear you, but and that was really compellingly argued, and I basically agree with you if it gets out. You know, if she and Ben can keep this thing under wraps, and when everyone's like, why were there just 10 votes? Be like, oh, what a mystery. Then I think that's great for her. She has an extra vote she can use at a crucial tribal council. And best of all, only her number one guy knows about it. However, if more people than Ben know about it, and then it becomes basically general knowledge, then that is terrible for her. And everybody knows she has this advantage. If that happens, then yes, she should throw it in the fire and say, Oops!
I dropped my extra vote in the fire.
I think that, you know, theoretically, not anybody has to know about this thing.
But Ben knows. I suspect Ben is going to say something to Chrissy.
Ben doesn't seem like a loose lips kind of guy.
I don't know. I mean, Jeff Probst has said that this season is all about secrets and who knows what. And we saw in the preview for next week that's going to begin to start to manifest of who's talking about who has what idol or advantage. And I feel like that, you know, who knows what is going to be really big here down the stretch.
Yeah. No, that's always the case. You know, sharing information is good. Sharing too much information is terrible. So it's just a question of execution. You know, it's hard to judge any strategy completely in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Steven,
you don't buy it.
I mean, I mean, yeah, it's very difficult to judge anything in a vacuum.
Yeah. Yes. Except dirt.
Dirt, yeah. Get all the dirt in the vacuum. All right, Steven, let's get into the questions. Why don't we kick things off with a question from Cliff Stewart.
Cliff Stewart, Fly Eagles Fly, wants to know, when you are playing the game, can survivors recognize others' handwriting?
Yeah, I think that's a thing. And I think that going all the way back to even the early days of Survivor, that there are certain players that had recognizable handwriting. I think that Ethan, I think, may have been the first player to talk about like voting in a different handwriting. I know that I tried to do that in Survivor the Amazon when I voted out Dina. I didn't want Dina to know that I was one of the votes against her at that time. So I used to write in all like big block letters because this is how sad of a person I am, Steven. I realized that production was going to always like hold up like the biggest, boldest
vote. Oh,
not fun, but the most clear, the most easy to read vote on television for the final like dagger. And I said, okay, I'm gonna write in block letters so they'll use mine. But on Dina, I wrote in lowercase letters.
Wow, that's pretty clever. You were like the original camera whore.
Yeah, but not like Steven, not like. Okay. Yeah.
That's really smart. I think some people you can recognize. I felt like I couldn't really write. And, you know, probably you know basically who's voting for whom for the most part. So, you know, until you're voted out. Stephanie Barilaro wants to know, am I wrong or is there no 2-hour episode next week? I don't know. Two, are people sold on this season yet? Three, is Ryan low-key hot with his beard? And four, 280 characters is insane.
Yeah, now people can send in long questions. Okay. All right. So a few different points just to talk through. One, there is no 2-hour episode next week. It is going to be the following week. So the schedule for the next couple of weeks looks like 1-hour episode next week, the night before Thanksgiving, 2-hour episode the following week after Thanksgiving, and then 1-hour episode when Steven Fishback and I are in Austin, Texas, December 6th.
Woo!
Rob is at website.com/AustinKIA for ticket information. Okay. Is Ryan hot with his low-key beard, Steven? Or is he low-key hot with his beard?
Yeah. He's a nice-looking guy.
Yeah. Steven, did you notice Ryan's heart beating through his chest?
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
That can't be.
He has a big heart.
That was like some sort of like muscle spasm.
No, it was his heart.
That was his heart?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like he's like the Grinch.
Wow.
His heart has grown three sizes bigger now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Should get that checked out. Wow. Okay. Wow. This is from Matt, who wants us, did nobody notice that there was a missing vote each time? If they, I'm thinking that the survivors knew. I'm wondering if Lauren might have gone to everybody and said, hey, I have the opportunity to get this extra vote.
I don't know. I think it's possible at tribal council that you're like, you're not typically counting the votes. I mean, 12 is a lot of votes, you know? And like,
you're telling me Chrissy was not counting the votes?
Hold on. Let me go through my spiel. So, you know, it's such a tense moment at tribal council. You know, you're so deprived of sleep. You're so on edge and the votes are coming and you're like, just in this like state of like a frenzy. And, you know, it's conceivable, but I believe that probably people were like, wait, what? Were there only, no, I must have miscounted. Wait, what? And so I think after they get back to camp, they will realize more fully. But in the moment, you're not thinking shenanigans.
Hmm. I don't know. I mean,
I'm thinking you miscounted.
I mean, we never had a vote in Survivor that I was at that had more than 10 people at a tribal. So I never had to count that high. But I feel like I wouldn't, you know, be pretty keenly aware of how many votes there were supposed to be, especially in a vote split scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's the thing. Like, I'm sure they're like, wait a second. And definitely, I think we're going to see the repercussions next week. But we'll find out. I mean, like, either they knew and that's why no one said anything, or they didn't know and they will absolutely ask about it.
Okay. This is a question. Zach Brooks, did Lauren have free will to decide about using the advantage? Did she only play it for the sake of using an advantage? Doesn't seem like it'll be that useful next week. Okay, well, she doesn't have to use it next week, correct?
That was my understanding, because if it was just one and then one, it's not that great. But if it's like you can bank it for any time. Now, the question of does Lauren have free will? That's a deep philosophical question that may be beyond the scope of this podcast.
Yeah. Now, would it have been more useful had somebody found it last week, Stephen?
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Yeah. What was the vote count? It was what? Was it Cole versus Jessica? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah,
it's really too bad because it really was. It would split. It's pretty close.
Yeah, so it depends on who would have ended up finding it. All right, what about Eddie?
Eddie Glacken wants to know: was Ryan right on waiting to strike on Ben tonight? Who do you predict will be victorious in the Ryan Ben upcoming battle?
Well, how real did you feel like that conversation was, where Joe says, "Look, the biggest threat in this game is Ben. You need to get rid of him."
I thought Ryan's reaction was perfect. Like, yes, Ben is a threat. I do not want to go to the end with him. However, now is not the time to vote him out. The end.
How do you not see Ben hiding in the bushes? I mean, Tony.
I know. That was unbelievable.
I mean, I don't know how tall Ben is. He seems like a bigger guy. Tony is wide, but I mean, he's not, Shaquille O'Neal by any stretch of the imagination.
And it's crazy. He's like wearing a red shirt. Like it couldn't have been more visible.
It was great. It was full. It was fantastic. And I loved hiding Ben in the bushes.
Yeah.
Great. Fantastic. What about Andy?
Our Andy Pfeiffer wants to know, could Ryan's cover that up to Chrissy have been a secret code for put the fake in there per a discussion on the reward?
No, I don't think that they're not that cloak and dagger, I don't think. I don't think that there was enough time to be able to get that plan together. But, interesting fan fiction.
I'm never going back on Survivor. However, if I did, my contribution would be try to use codes. Like establish early coded language. I think that could be kind of fun.
Can you give us an example of what you would do with
like,
coded language?
You know, like different things like to suggest meetups, you know, in certain places or various vote targets, you know, without having to, say the person's name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just like establish it early. You're skeptical.
I don't know. I feel like that I see a lot of this on Big Brother where people talk about like they want to like talk on the live feeds about things they're not supposed to talk about. And they'd be like, so I had a dream last night. And then you are not allowed to talk about production. You know, it I think people try it. You're like one of these people like on The Wire where it's like you're trying not to get busted by the police.
Yeah, but it wouldn't. It would be. Yeah.
Are you trying to outthink production or outthink
the other players? Just for fun. I mean, just to be like, because one of the things that's hard, it's like hard to like schedule a meetup with like a secret ally, you know? And Spencer and I had this problem where like, how would we go meet up? Well, it turns out he wasn't my ally. But we had like started to develop a code, like whenever like bagels were mentioned, like that was our sign. Mm-hmm. I feel like that can be evolved.
I think what you should do is like put out like a bunch of gibberish that people start to think about, like, is Fishback like have some code? Like he keeps talking like he's really being very mysterious and he keeps talking about Nintendo. What you think he's like? And then just like keep the gears turning about nonsense.
Yeah, well, gears turning about nonsense is the subtitle for this podcast.
What about Johnny DeSilvera?
Johnny DeSilvera wants to know, why did Desi vote for Lauren? Well, apparently we're not allowed to ask that question.
Well, we can ask it and we can speculate it. I suspect that Joe was probably the person who said, hey, let's make sure we don't vote for each other.
Yeah, that may be the case. But why she could have still have voted for Ben. That's what I don't get. Johnny says if she had voted for Ben, she would still be in this game. Oh, she's voted for Joe. She'd still be in this game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Danius B wants to know, what's the normal time player spends in that voting booth?
I mean, they walk in there, they get out the marker. 40 seconds.
Yeah. Did you like Lauren's fake?
I thought she did a great job. I thought it was very fun. I liked when she pushed the thing over the table. You know, it was genius-esque, Stephen.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, too. She did great.
It was very fun. Okay, here's another long one from Aaron, who says, was that the best effort Cole could give to prove he didn't have the idol? Dude was an obvious target. If he didn't pull out the comp win, and the best he could do is my shirt is long, hashtag weak tomato sauce.
I thought Cole actually was doing a good job of making it seem like he was doing a bad job of, because like Cole's goal in that situation is for people to think he has the idol. So he can't convincingly argue that he doesn't have the idol. So I think like the best way to do that is to make a really bad argument of why you don't have the idol, making people like see through it and therefore more think you have the idol. I think Cole, like I wrote a little bit about this in the blog. I feel like Cole is so close to being a good player and he just gets in his own way, but he's got like really good reads and things.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that this was Cole's best episode of the season.
Yeah.
Love goggles off.
Yeah. But not hiding the reward is a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Well, not hiding the...
Sorry, the idol clue.
I mean, he did go to some lengths to do it.
Yeah, but he should have gone to greater lengths.
Yeah, I think that Chrissy and Ryan happened to be behind him. Had Chrissy and Ryan potentially been in front of him, and it was going to be Devin and JP coming after him, that would have worked fine what he did.
Yeah, but he knew who was coming after him.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, I don't know if he had the foresight like Ryan did. Obviously not.
Well, I mean, right. Obviously not. But I think like that's what we do here, right? We are like, that guy did something good. He could have done something better.
Okay. Also, the subtitle for this podcast could have done. It was okay. They could have done something better. Okay. Yeah.
That's the title for all internet.
Right. John Densford, if Joe or Cole don't win immunity next week, who should the majority vote out? Okay, if it's a choice between Cole or Joe, do you think that they should go for one of those two targets, Stephen? Or is this the time to look at Dr. Mike?
You know, it's hard. It's a really good question because, like, you're right that keeping at least one of them around is really good. Keeping both of them around is unnecessary, right? So I think I would vote out Joe or Cole. And if it were me, I would vote out Joe.
Okay. All right, let's do one or two more questions. Did Desi make the jury? I don't remember hearing Jeff say anything about the jury yet. I don't remember it, but I did see a commercial for Ponderosa video, Stephen.
Oh, there you go.
They said, go to CBS.com/Ponderosa.
Maybe it's just like an empty beach.
It's like a beach cam?
Yeah, well, there's no, if Desi's not on the jury, you know, there's just like a cabin.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see if we get any Desi Ponderosa videos tonight. What about Leah?
Oh, wow. Leah wants to know, is Ben going down the same road slash edit as Stephen did with the unrelenting desire to get out Cole and Joe, like Stephen going for Joey? Amazing. Well, there's a lot of similarities between me and Ben.
No, I don't see. I don't think there's any similarities
just
between
like handsome you heroes. And, handsome heroes. Yeah.
I mean, Steve's, yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll see. Pretty much exactly the same, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Matt Gillum wants to know, why did Chrissy feel the need to speak up against Joe at Tribal? Seemed unnecessary. What did you think of that, Rob?
Yeah, I do feel like that Chrissy ends up, like, I think that all of her strategic moves are correct, but I feel like that she makes a series of social faux pas that don't put her in the best light, whether it's, like, you know, scheming in public, like we saw these last two episodes, or, you know, just like getting a shot in on somebody at a tribal council when it's just not necessary. I don't feel like that she is winning people over with charm, that she seems like she has a wonderful mind for the game, but I am finding her lacking at times in terms of winning people over.
But isn't that make a good character someone with a flaw? She's got like a fatal flaw.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's very fun to watch that play out. I'm just talking about in terms of, like, that's where most of my critique has been in terms of Chrissy this season. I mean, she seems, again, like she could be a mastermind, but I feel like she's just missing that sort of social polish on her game.
Yeah. No, there's no question. I mean, there really seems to be...
Okay. All right. Well, Stephen, who got the fishy tonight?
Well, you'll have to read my blog.
All right, who got the fishy last week? I meant to ask you on the live show. I forgot.
I don't even remember who got the fishy.
Was it Chrissy and Ryan?
I don't remember. Yeah, probably. Chrissy and Ryan, Ben and Lauren. I honestly don't remember. It might have been Ben and Lauren. It might have been Chrissy and Ryan. No. It was Chrissy and Devin.
Okay.
You know, and Devin got a lot of credit, story credit. I really think Devin's story is, because I'm not supposed to say edit, Devin's story is about being a winner.
Okay. Wow. You're really all in on Devin.
You know what? It was actually at the live know-it-alls. Devin was totally off my radar. And this a wonderful couple, whose names I'm forgetting right now, approached me at the bar and were like, what do you think of Devin as the winner? And I was like, come on, what? And they're like, no, listen. And it made sense. I had like a sixth sense moment, like where all of my past experiences over the past season suddenly like came, like I understood them.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. Steven is calling his shot there. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast and Rob's website.com. Challenge Dirty 30 reunion recap. Steven, were you outraged with how many episodes they spanned the challenge finale over?
I just finished watching the reunion recap and I am still angry about it. And like The Miz, like he was so over the top. Calm down.
OTT. OTTP or OTTN?
OTT
for his story, for the Miz's story, Steven.
Yeah, Miz's story. It was a journey.
Story jick. Yeah.
Yeah. Story. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Steven, check this out. On this week's The Taryn Show, Nicole Cesternino was the guest. She sat down with Taryn and talked about her amazing journey to get to where she is today.
Wow.
And then also check out our next exit interview coming up on Thursday. I'll be speaking with Desi and then a This Week in Survivor History battle with Tyler Weigert himself, Josh Wiggler. So be on the lookout for that. And then Todd Herzog is back on the podcast. Looking forward to talking with him. And don't forget to get your voicemails in for Brett LaBelle coming up this weekend. Send them in. Go to robhasawebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RH. HAP, or you can email us in questions, survivor@robisawebsite.com. I'll take those questions via email for Todd or for Brett LaBelle. How about that?
Oh, wow.
I'm in generous mood. Wow. And then, of course, be sure to check out the RHAP B&B with Puya this weekend with Mike and Liana. And then, of course, a must listen. David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis have Why Desi Lost. So they can explain to us why Desi, who followed the rules of the Why Blank Lost, read the entire rules and then went on Survivor and lost.
Wow. Yeah. Let that be a lesson. Don't read those rules.
David Bloomberg, that's my hero.
She just got unlucky, right?
She got unlucky.
She was a great, I think Desi was a really smart player. I feel like she just got, her tribe won too much, honestly. Like, it seemed like that was the problem. And then, you know, whatever. Well, this is, the pot fodder for Jessica and David.
All right. Well, Stephen, great job.
What's the hashtag?
What do you want?
Handsome heroes.
Hashtag handsome heroes, just like Stephen Fishback and Ben, the OTP.
Yeah.
All right. Stephen, great job as per usual. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And a lot of great stuff coming up. Make sure you subscribe. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor, no, it owes.